Hi, this is Rabbi Fine, and together with Rabbi Bazak, we present to you the Dadding Podcast, Dadding being the art of being a dad. So join us as we discuss, we laugh, we experience what being a dad is all about, the Dadding Podcast. Hello, and welcome back to the Dadding Podcast. I'm Rabbi Fine.
And I'm Rabbi Bazak.
We're two rabbis laughing meaningfully through the school day. Gary, we are up to homework.
Homework.
What do you think about homework?
Homework's a fascinating one because you start off with the two types of people again. I think there probably is a pattern here, I'm going to be honest with you. I think there's me and there's you. Yeah, pretty much that. I mean, pretty much. Yeah, there's the early birds and there's the slow coaches. The people who are going to leave their homework till the last possible minute.
Which presumably was you.
Which presumably was me. I was a master crammer.
Got it.
Yeah, standards.
Exams, yeah. Do you wake up at like 3 a.m. on an exam day?
No, I don't need to wake up at 3:00 a.m. because I've been up all night. Because I stay up all night cramming for the exams. In fact, for my exams in university, there was a pattern. I got a 2-1 in university.
Yeah.
And I didn't get one first. Well, I didn't get 1-2-1 in any of my exams. I only got firsts and thirds. That was it.
Really?
Yeah, first and third. And basically you could track the pattern. You could work out my timetable from my results. If I stayed up all night, and because if it was two exams on one day, then the second exam I'd get a third, the first exam I'd get a first.
See what's happened here.
Yeah, and the second one, and then the third exam I'd get the next day, I'd get a first. Right?
I understand. Basically, the ones which you did last minute cramming, you got your first.
I got my first.
Brilliant.
And the other ones I couldn't do my last minute cramming, I got my third.
I understand.
Anyway, so
it sounds like our conversation about supper being inevitably hungry towards supper, we should say, right, 6:30, right, and not realising that every day it's coming.
Right. There seems to be a pattern here. That is true. But nevertheless, you do have two types of kids. You've got the types of kids who are the do it straight away when you get home people.
Yes, that's me.
Yeah. And then you've got the people who don't do it, yeah, and then panic at the last minute, and that would be me. Right?
Yeah. Can I just ask, Gary, I'm going to take a step back, where do those behavioural patterns come from, do you think? Ooh. I'm not getting a whole nature-nurture, I don't want to get too philosophical there, but because sometimes within families, you have the organised one, and
yeah,
the last minute.
I think, for me, I don't know I've got a trait of flexibility, fascinating trait. I'm very flexible. This trait now, which is incredibly detrimental because I'm very flexible and very lazy. So between the two, yeah. So I procrastinate, but I'm very flexible. So therefore, I'll stay up 3 nights in a row and get it done. Right. Okay. So the flexibility, I think that trait of flexibility actually led me to a lot of this kind of like last minuteness.
Understand.
I don't think it derived as a result of it. I think it's just.
Do you also not get angry?
No.
Huh.
I mean,
I was going with the whole like I'm flexible, I don't care, I'm like I can work.
Yeah, well, I get. Well, in certain, I mean, if we're not talking about family, obviously you get angry with your family. I mean, but that's obviously we're talking about people you love. You shout at the people you love. That's fine, which is another talk.
Yeah, that's right? An oddity, isn't it?
That's why do we shout? Why do you shout at the people you love? Okay, but that's another point. But apart from that, yeah, no, I am more flexible in terms of that. I do. I am more easygoing. Yeah.
Like ballet kind of flexible?
No, I don't know. Can't imagine ever dreaming of doing ballet. Anyway, we digress. Back to homework, right?
Yes, homework.
So where does it come from? I don't know. But you've got two types of kids. So you've got. I'm assuming there's a bit of nature, a bit of nurture.
Mm.
I think it is a skill that we need to. I mean, we as parents try to work hard, not on necessarily the academic side of the homework thing, meaning we don't make it a pressure in terms of the actual achievement in school with regards to your homework, but we do verbalize clearly the skill of doing things in good time.
I understand.
And right. And being prepared and the ease that will create in your life.
Got it. I mean, there is a work ethic that comes with homework,
yeah,
irrespective of whether or not the actual homework piece is valuable.
Yeah. So that's what I'm talking about. So that we do as parents work very, very hard at, actually, as it goes, despite the fact that we are
that at least I am not naturally that way inclined, but work quite hard to try and put on a unified show in terms of that, and try and communicate the value of it to the kids. That we always do.
It is a value. Out of interest, your cramming, were you very focused when you were cramming?
Unbelievably focused.
Was that kind of out of necessity?
Out of necessity. I had to be completely and utterly focused because I had to learn an entire syllabus in 9 hours, you know.
I'm like hyperventilating thinking about this. Yeah. You know, when my university exams and certainly A-levels and GCSEs, I had revised so early in advance that I finished syllabus too early and I made up this new term called re-revising. And I redid my schedule. I was re-revising in order not to forget what I'd already revised. It's amazing, we're friends.
It's quite remarkable, actually. Anyway, so you've got the other issues with homework as well, with regards to, you know, we've got some kids in the family who, I'll say, do you have homework? And the answer will be yes or no. And then there'll be the other kids where, kind of ask them, do they have homework? And there's like, well, I'm not sure, and they go off track, and then we're not sure.
It's like that wry homework smile where they know they're not really allowed to lie,
but they don't
really want to tell you they do
have
homework.
Exactly, you have to yank it out. Are you sure? Yeah. Are you sure? I've got nothing for tomorrow. I know you've got nothing for tomorrow. I know you've got nothing for tomorrow. I didn't ask if you have anything for tomorrow.
It's like that smile. Do you remember when you're potty training or toilet training a child?
Yeah.
There's that smile that says, I'm not going to tell you that I failed this particular toilet training.
Right.
But I've clearly done something.
Right. It's either a cry or a smile. Right.
That's the same smile that resurfaces.
When you're not revealing that level of homework.
Yes.
And then you've got the other enjoyable episodes where we train our patients as parents. You know what I mean?
Yes, not patients as in doctor surgery.
No.
CE patients, yeah.
As in, there's the 7 + 4. Okay, so now if you have 7 oranges, let's put them on the table.
It's not the oranges.
Let's put them on the table. 7 oranges. Look, we've got them here. You can count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then you need to add another 4. So now imagine you had 4 oranges, because you don't have enough oranges, yeah, you run out of oranges and now have to use pens as oranges or something. And now add them to it, what do you get? 14. No, you don't get 14. Let's try and think about what you get. And as you move up in your homework, and as you move up in your reading, you know, you have that, when you're doing reading, yeah, and they're struggling through the words, and you have to display an immense amount of patience. Immense amounts. Just, it's almost a superhuman effort, to be honest. Yeah, it's almost a super. In fact, when in schools and Rabbi Fein, you are actually now the school's director, and you are going to experience this. There's this very interesting phenomenon, which is that you will be putting on a craft for the kids and the adults, right? And you've got the kids there wanting to do the craft, and then you've got the adults not letting them, right?
Because
they can't deal with the time it's going to take you to cut out the leaf. So they just take over. No, let me do that quickly. I'll just cut that out for you, and then you stick it on. No, don't stick it on. Let me stick it on for you just quickly. And then, you know, so the craft, which should take 25 minutes to half an hour, actually takes 6 minutes because the adult did
it. Right.
Yeah, because the adult's done the entire craft. So we have to, it's a real challenge. Now we know, as parents, we know that the best thing to do for our kids is to
Let go. That's important, to let go. I think one of the most powerful powerful observations someone told me is that we all want our kids to be independent, and we want them to be independent in exactly the same way as us.
Brilliant.
It is a bit like that. Meaning, yeah. I'm happy for you to be independent as long as you're doing what I want.
Right. I mean, the pain and the vulnerability of leaving it to your child. Even though, and I always say when I do the craft, what's very interesting is I say at the beginning, it will not be as good if your child does it, but your child will be much happier.
No, that's good.
So you make a decision. You want the happy child or you want the nice sukkah craft. You decide, yeah? But that is often, I mean, you know, Rabbi Shah Kalinsky in Israel says, don't rob your student the joy of true discovery by giving them the answer.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's the same with our kids and our reading. You know, you're actually doing them a disservice by giving them the answers,
right,
by telling them what to do, by imposing on them. It's actually robbing them. And that, now, I guess that might be an element of the purpose of homework.
No, I hear that. Yeah, give them space. Give them space. Let them do it themselves. I mean, it's always philosophical. You know, it's like free will and God giving us space. We make our own mistakes and we grow from them.
Right.
You know, there's that element to it too. But there is that frustration, isn't there? Of, you know, why haven't they got the answer that's 11?
Yes. There is the frustration. And there's the fact that, you know, I don't really want... It's back to the dadding, really, isn't it? Right? You know, you've finished school now. You've finished drop-off, and then you're no longer the dad, right? And you're kind of like now get on with the rest of your day. So when the frustration sets in, when you've got various things you want to be doing at home, there's loads of things you could be doing at home, and now the evil, horrible teacher has kind of invaded the home. What are they doing here? Why is there this homework? Shouldn't there be? And I always like have a sense of it's a bit too much for the kids.
There is a discussion to be had. Yeah, about how I remember during COVID. Oh, it was one of the breaks I think of COVID, one of the half terms or whatever. We got a letter in school. I'm talking about as a teacher. No one is allowed to set homework for this half term. They just need a clean break.
Right. Because of what? Because.
We felt the kids were a little bit stressed or needed a break Yes, there is that certain sense. But on the other hand, they've got to practice stuff.
That must have been difficult for you to not set homework.
Not set homework. I'm not going to tell you my lack of homework.
Oh, because obviously you foresee the consequences of setting the homework.
The problem with teaching, people don't realise this. In as much as you think it's a pain for your kids to get homework, imagine a teacher has to mark every single bit of homework.
Oh my gosh, with all the errors.
With all the errors and everything. And some teachers, by the way, they're really precise. I remember as a kid, I did some homework, whatever. This is probably the only negative comment I got, as I remember it.
Right.
And the teacher wrote, "Why are we eating over your homework?" She was right. It was like, and it wasn't that obvious. That meant a teacher, there were 30 kids in the class, whatever it was.
That's amazing.
Yeah, a teacher noticed.
She must have been really irritated with you, to point it out as well. I mean, it's like a fairly unnecessary thing to point out.
I mean,
it doesn't matter. It was eating over his homework. He did the homework. He did well on the homework. He just had a biscuit over it.
Like, if it was like food cuisine, I would have got that. Well, you know, design and technology.
Yeah, I did home economics.
Did you?
GCSE.
Did you?
Yes, I got a D.
Did you? What were your GCSE results?
3 A stars, 3 A's, 3 B's and a D.
3 A stars, okay. And A levels?
D's, BBC.
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 Oh, Future Media.
Yeah, which I was going for.
Really?
No.
One sec. Well, any of them was the D because it was a double exam that day. You couldn't cram the night before.
No. I wouldn't have even known what to cram for home economics. I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah, I mean, I can't reveal the reasons why I did home economics here in this forum. This is for another podcast of different type. But
teenaging.
Yeah, exactly. Teenaging. I was doing home economics for various other reasons, but it seemed like a good idea at the time. It's a lot of cooking. It's great. You come home with food. It's good.
Yeah.
But then when you get to this exam, they start asking you about what vitamins you need to eat, and then you need to start telling how to create a balanced meal for a student in university. I don't know. How am I supposed to know? Well, you've been, because we've been talking about it for a while. No, I don't know. Anyway, but so homework. I don't know how we got onto home economics, but I can hear it's challenging for the teachers. But there is a question in terms of work ethic, in terms of does the homework create the work ethic? But I guess the lessons that we can learn as dads from it as well is this concept of space, really giving, and it really does bring out our opportunity again as a dad.
Correct.
Give the space, but nudge them along, coach them along in terms of their ability to do it.
That's right.
Do have the stress factors. I mean, I don't know if you've ever, I don't know how many teenagers you've got, but there's teenage girls, certainly, there's a certain, when they've got too much homework, it's just not pleasant for anyone. And especially if they've left it, if they've procrastinated and they've not done it, and now it's got stressful stages, then it's not the homework that becomes stressful. It's life.
just the whole of life is terrible. Everything has gone wrong because of this. And eventually, like, you talk them through it, you coach them through it, you listen a lot. And then eventually you work out it's because they're stressed about their homework but they haven't done, right? And now they're going to have to do loads of work to be able to catch it up. And then you start shouting at them because they haven't done that. No, I'm joking. You don't really start shouting at them at that point. But it does create a bit of stress, but it does give us the ability as parents to kind of coach them through it, which is an important skill.
So I've got two questions to end this episode. One is serious and one less so. Let's do the less. Well, what do you want, the less one or the...
I'm more serious. I always go to the less serious.
Let's go to the less serious. Okay. So the less serious one is, what happens if you clearly realise that your kids want help with the homework and you just can't do it?
Right.
You don't know that level maths, you know.
Right.
I actually had one of my kids turn around to me. They asked me a question about something in the Chumash or Navi, the prophets or whatever. And I said, I just can't remember. They said, are you supposed to be a rabbi?
Yeah, what did you do? How did you do your homework?
How did you do school?
The truth is, there's words that I wouldn't even get close to spelling, right?
Do you tell them that? Do you admit?
No, I kind of hope that I'm going to be able to type it in my phone quickly enough. The problem is that you have to get the spelling somewhat close in order for your phone to respell it for you.
Mm.
Okay, so that is more challenging. We have it in Mawson Hiller when they do the curriculum evenings. You have because they do maths in a new way now. Yeah, there's new ways of doing maths apparently. Yeah, and you literally have this presentation from the teacher in which you see the parents just looking like they've been completely bamboozled by this year two maths, yeah? And they haven't got a clue what's going on, nor how to do it, or how they're going to coach their kids through it. But they still manage to do it.
Good for them.
And the serious question?
Yeah, the serious question is like this. We are talking about giving space and allowing, I guess, opening the door, not feeling like they're too constrained. But still, if you have two kids, one of whom is a I do my homework now kind of person, and the other one is a I'll kind of do it one day person, how do you occupy them in the same space? Do you know what I mean? I mean, how do you give room that they can both be themselves, not feel that they're inhibited by each other, and actually give them the feeling that that's right for you, and that may be right for you, if it is right for them?
That's a very good question.
Do you know what I mean?
What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, look, you have to educate everyone according to who they are.
Yeah.
Understand? You have to value them.
There's the trellis approach.
Go on.
No, meaning that you have to understand your kid and understand what is going to coach them through this. Meaning, so for some kids, let's just give an example of tidying up, right? So for some kids, I've got kids in my house that I can say, do me a favour, just tidy up the kitchen. Yeah?
And they do that?
And they tidy up the kitchen. Not only will they borrow them. Yeah, but you've got the 10-year-old. It's the 10-year-old mother. I'm sure she can do it. Yeah? Anyway, but the point is, so you'll tidy up the kitchen. She'll tidy up the kitchen and she'll make it look spick and span. She's like one of those cleaners with the magic dust who make the room shine. Yeah?
No,
so she's one of those. Yeah, she's one of those. She's great. Yeah? And then I've got another child who I can't tell them to do that because they won't do it. But it's not as a result of laziness necessarily. It's just a result of they won't be able to see what needs to be done. They actually can't do it. Yeah. So what I have to do is I have to give her a task, just one task.
Mm.
Do me a favor, make sure that you get all the plates in the dishwasher back in the cupboard. And then I'll have to give her another task and another task. And I have to be careful because I can't give her too many tasks because I keep imposing it. But you do have to understand your kids and there can be a broad rule that we have to impose,
mm-hmm.
but we have to work out the different ways. Then, you know, it could be you have to get your homework done by 8 o'clock. I don't mind what order you do it in. You could do relax first. So the early kid is going to get it done early.
Right. Small tasks.
Yeah. The early kid's going to get it done early. But I'm talking about just a more broad, generic goal. And then they work out their different ways of doing it. That we can create a framework for that.
Yeah. Okay, that works. I guess, look, then they're valued. They see that they have to fit framework, but then they're working with you.
Yeah.
I mean, that is probably the key of parenting, allowing each kid to express themselves not feel like they have to be exactly the same, but also aspiring to what they can do. Were you ever a parent, by the way, who gave, when it was one of your kids' birthdays, gave some of the other kids presents as well? Did you ever do that?
What do you mean?
Yeah, there's some parents out there, in order not to...
In order, the other kids
feel jealous.
No, absolutely not. In fact, my wife is very against it.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very against it. She feels, kids are different. And kids need to know their own uniqueness, their own individuality. And they know that this is his birthday. And different days. But they all feel as special as each other.
Right. And bedtime? We're going to get to bedtime next, actually. Let's talk about that when we get to bedtime. Allowing kids to understand that they're different bedtimes.
Yes, that's very good.
Okay, you've been listening to the Dadding Podcast, two rabbis laughing meaningfully through the school day, and next we are going to discuss bedtime. This Dadding Podcast was brought to you by Seed, providing life tools for Jewish families. For more information, for inspiration, for events, or just to get in touch, please visit our website www.seed.uk.net.